And now, a tale of the Black Pearl. Saoirse and the Savage Beast. Saoirse stood with the pearl in her hand, the little black spot amongst a sea of soft caramel skin, at once covered in saliva and sputtered blood, the cavernous maw of the urge undulating mere inches from her, stopping its advance, having eaten the four children before her. Her mind hopscotched back over the last 3 days. Friday the vote had been cast. Angelo, Shauna, Miguel, Molly, and her. Her mother and father had walked home, taking turns holding the others as the spasms of despair took their legs from time to time. She was numb. Reality had no weight. Her life was scheduled to end in order to allow the settlement to survive, a matter of random selection, or at least that's what the council had told the outer boroughs. 5 borough kits, once a year, to protect 5 million. The urge had been seen moving towards the wall, its massive hide scarred and silver quill covered. It had fought all armies it had faced, and left naught but gore in its wake. It was when it had reached the wall the first time, 22 years ago, that they had discovered it could talk.
5 calves each year. 5 calves or all. You choose.
It had waited 4 days. They had walked 5 orphans out on the 5th day. It took as much earth as it had children, and then left. Saoirse took a step closer to the urge's eyes. They found her there, its blue eyes reminding her of her grandfather's kind eyes as he sat in the Saturday sun, and looked at her with tears, keeping well within the creases of his face. You listen, child. None of our children have ever been taken, yet this day has come. You will face a horror, but if you are smart and if you are fast, you can come out alive. He had explained the old family story then, and in so doing, he armored her with a thin foil of hope. As the urge stopped for a moment, it labored in breathing, taking gluttonous huffs of air, its teeth close enough for her to touch, shreds of her contemporary's clothes between those razor-sharp bars. Sunday best clothing, spattered in gore and blood. Her mom had gotten her dressed in a polka dot dress, patent leather shoes, and done her hair in braids with bows. Her socks bothered her, but she smirked at the oddity of worrying about socks when you were dressed for slaughter. Why dress nice at all? Her brain shook loose the path. Being only in the now, since it might be her last now ever. She waited for the sign grandfather had told her of, the double blink, the lips sliding back from the massive bloody teeth, as it moved to devour. She had to be careful. It was a small bullet and a massive target that nearly stuck to her hand as she moved to throw it. The black pearl disappeared into the chasm of that bloody, beastly monstrosity. An instant caught the urge, like sensing a kernel between your teeth. It didn't move. It didn't move. It didn't breathe. It didn't breathe. And it didn't blink. Its eyes sat upon her for what seemed like her entire life. That instant lasted forever. The urge did not move. His pupils dilated until they enveloped his entire eye. They seemed to become the very thing she had thrown into his great and horrible mouth. The black pearl. Each one was as black as the pearl she had held. The urge looked at her and whispered. The whisper was more terrifying than the roars had been. 22 times 109 calves. Give me your paw. It is all I need. Why? Her words came with a tremor, uncontrollable, shaking no matter what kind of calm she sought within her mind. Once I have your taste, none of your brood will be culled.
What does that mean?
Your poor calf. Now. Her hand went out, and the jaw snapped down. The white, hot, sulfurous agony sent her to the ground as the stump welled over onto her polka dots. Uncomfortable socks and patent leather. She lay there, grasping for something that no longer existed. She didn't even see as the urge tore through the gates. Nothing more than an inconvenience for it. Her wailing concealed the screams. Her eyes became sore as they stayed shut, not seeing the carnage. She lay there, waiting for one of the few survivors to find her. And the instant before she passed out, she crawled, clawing at the ground, only to collapse. Her mother and father would get to her eventually, bounding for her, worried not for the monster behind them that was tearing through every being it came across. And yet somehow avoided certain homes altogether. They bound her fresh amputation and cut off the bleeding chemically. She would awake a day later. She would find a world far different. None but the ancestors, descendants, relatives, and direct families of the sacrifice remain. 4,824,000 gone. Once they had all died, the urge stopped instantly, as though remembering it had something else to do. There was a sigh that slid between its cracked and bleeding lips. A moment of contemplation, one might think. Not, however, knowing what a monster such as this would contemplate, especially in the wake of a genocide. And then, as though a switch had been flipped, it fell over dead.
"It's gone,"
her father wept with joyous whispers.
"The monster is gone. If another ever comes,"
her childlike face, a grim mask of authority,
We will be prepared.
Her words led her to a single solitary motion as she rose and lifted her remaining hand, outstretching it before all who sat in silent shock, as that little one's fingers curled open. They had not looked at the good hand. They had been too busy tending to the one that had no longer been there. Had they noticed, they would have found it clenched shut, held perfectly closed, fingernails torn and bloodied, the entirety of it dust settled, and within those simple, soft digits of a child who had experienced horror, sat a handful of dust and the single black pearl. Such was the way to stop monsters. Not with grand gestures, but with such a small stone. Something small enough to shift the scales of a system which called itself justice, but had never truly known balance. This has been another addition to the Tales of the Black Pearls. I believe it's 3 down. Which leaves me 27 to go. That's alright. We got plenty of time, right? Yeah, you guys aren't going anywhere. You'll listen to all of them. The last one actually explains the other 27. It's pretty cool. Or 29. Now I'm doing math wrong. Who expects me to do math at a time like this? Really? I mean, come on. That was, as a parent, that was tough to read, man. That was just, but this is what my brain does. Anyway, so, I hope you've enjoyed. And I will talk to you guys again soon. Until then, have fun storming the castle.